Well, good evening. Welcome to our Sunday evening service. I'm thankful that you have logged on and are listening to this. I trust the first two messages today have been an encouragement and a blessing to you. And tonight I pray the same thing. Take your Bibles with me. Turn to Exodus chapter number 20. Exodus chapter number 20. As you're finding your way, let me encourage you to continue to check our website, not only for prayer requests. They're there for you. But also for updates on things that are going on, things that are happening over the next several weeks, months. You will find a lot of information there. It's a great place to get it. And if you have questions, feel free to contact me or one of the deacons, and they can give you any information that you can't find there. Here in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, we have this commandment from God given to Moses: honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And then in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 15, the Bible says this: can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Our gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to look at motherhood today. Lord, I thank you for this day in which we can honor moms. Lord, and I pray your blessing on not only the reading of your word, but now on the preaching thereof. Lord, I pray you'd use it in our lives, Lord, to help us to grow closer to you, and we'll thank you for it. Lord, help me tonight as I preach, Lord, to do it in a way that would please you ultimately, but Lord, be a blessing to my people, and we'll thank you for it. In your name I ask it. Amen. The term mother is indicative of one who is more than merely a parent. In fact, the commonest fallacy among women is that simply having children makes one a mother, which is as absurd as believing that having a piano would make me a musician. That's because it takes a special kind of woman to be what the Bible defines as a mother. The biblical word translated mother comes from the Hebrew that means the bond of the family. The word signifies a force that strengthens and holds things together. Though I don't want to diminish the importance of the father's role in a family, I think all of us would agree to the fact that mom is really the glue that holds the family together. We acknowledge that fact too seldom. It is without question that mothers are a special gift from God. We would do well to recognize the reality. Some of our most famous American leaders recognize the value of their moms. George Washington said, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." William McKinley said of his mom, "By the blessings of heaven, I mean to live and die, please God, in the faith of my mother." Former President Ronald Reagan said, "From my mother, I learned the value of prayer, how to have dreams and believe I could make them come true." George W. Bush had the following thing to say about motherhood: "Mothers are central to the success of the American family. Their love, dedication, and wisdom touch countless lives every day in communities throughout our land. And their love and guidance of children help to develop healthy and spiritually sound families." President John Quincy Adams once said, "All that I am, my mother made me." Abraham Lincoln believed, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life." These statements are just as true for millions of Americans who credit their mothers for helping to successfully shape their lives. As we celebrate today, as we have done so all day, the gift of mothers, I want to point out some of the qualities that I believe make them so special. Let's look at them together tonight, shall we? mothers are special because. Now, the first is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you're watching this on video, you can hit pause for sake of time. I'm just going to kind of go through these verses, and we're going to look at a number of texts tonight. But you can pause if you need to as you find the verses. But we're just going to go through them. The first is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, a mother's warmth bestowed upon her children. Mothers are special because of that warmth that they bestow upon her children. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, bearing all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. A mother's love protects her child. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 23, remember the story with Solomon. Then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, give the half to the one and the half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it neither be mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. Unless a mother is highly abnormal, she has a natural, God-given love for her children. It often moves her to do some pretty historic and heroic things in order to protect them. About 6 a.m. on a Wednesday morning, James Lawson of Running Springs, California, left home to apply for a job. About an hour later, his 36-year-old wife, Patsy, left for her fifth grade teaching job down the mountain in Riverside, accompanied by her two children, 5-year-old Susan and 2-year-old Gerald, to be dropped off at the babysitter's. Unfortunately, they never got that far. 8.5 hours later, the man found his wife and daughter dead in their wrecked car, upside down in a cold mountain stream. His 2-year-old son was just barely alive in the 48-degree water. But in the death, the character of a mother was revealed in a most dramatic and heart-rending way. For when the father scrambled down the cliff to what he was sure were the cries of his dying wife, he found her locked in death, holding her little boy's head just above water in the submerged car. For 8.5 hours, she had held her beloved toddler afloat, and had finally died. Her body almost frozen in death in the position of self-giving love. Holding her baby up to breathe, she died that another might live. That's the essence of a mother's love. She has a desire to protect her child. She has a desire to provide for her child. She is like a merchant ship. We looked at Proverbs 31 this morning. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Remember in verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Someone has said this, a mother is a person who, seeing there are only 4 pieces of pie for 5 people, promptly announces she never did care for pie. Funny thing about moms, they may do without, but their kids won't. Moms will often go until they can't go anymore. When that happens, the rest of the family seems to be helpless. A mother will provide for her child. A mother will pity her child. You read that in Matthew chapter 15. Look at verse 22. And behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Here this mom comes and has pity for her child." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought Jesus, or him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Remember, this woman is a woman from Cana. He's sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's tables." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith." By the way, and this is the only woman in this whole book that Jesus says, "Great is thy faith." And he tells his disciples four or five times, he marvels at their lack of faith. "Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Listen, a mom knows her children. A mom knows when a child who is crying. This always amazed me. One of our kids would be crying and she's like, "They're hungry." I'm like, "How do you know that?" "Well, listen to them cry." "I am." And all I hear is, "Wah! Wah! Wah!" What's the difference between "Wah!" and "Wah!"? They need diaper changed. A mom knows those things. A dad is like, "Oh, maybe it's this, maybe it's this, maybe it's this. Maybe they need just some time alone. Maybe I need some time alone." Whatever it is, when a child cries, their mama knows what they need. By the way, young person, this isn't part of the message. When it comes to your friends, when it comes to boyfriends or girlfriends, when it comes to possible mates, can I tell you something? Your parents know you. They know what you need. A mama knows what's going to make her child happy. And if you can go to her and you can talk to her, you will save yourself a whole lot of heartache and a whole lot of pain and a whole lot of problems if you just ask mama. She'll tell you. And I'll tell you what, she'll be dead on. A mama knows her children. She knows their strengths. She knows their weaknesses. When their children have a problem, if they can fix it, they will, even if it means doing it themselves. One person said this, "I ask you, who was greater, Thomas Edison or his mother? When he was a young lad, his teacher sent him home with a note which said," and you know the story, "your child is dumb. We can't do anything for him." Mrs. Edison wrote back, "You don't understand my son. I'll teach him myself." And she did. And we know the results very well. A mother pitieth her children. A mama knows her kids. Number two this morning, as we look at why mothers are special. First of all, a mother's warmth that is bestowed upon her children. And number two, a mother's wanting the best for her kids. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, we read of another mom who came to Jesus, then came to him, the mother of Zebedee's children, with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, "What wilt thou?" She saith unto him, "Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom." A mother's concern is for her children. She wants what is best for them. Sometimes they may take it a little too far, but you have to give them credit for good intention. Mamas want what's best for their kids, even if it hurts. Even if it means sacrifice. Even if it means going without, you'll get, because mama wants best for their children. I'll tell you what, there's no greater advocate for a child than a mom. A mother. A mother. I'm so thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for the advocate she's been, not for just me, but for the children God has blessed us with. We have David and we have Abby, and I'm so thankful for those two kids. They are amazing children. Their mama did good with them. But then we've had a number, I think if I've counted right, we've had about 15 foster kids. And I've watched my wife with all of them. I don't care which ones they were. I don't care what needs they were. I don't care whether they wanted to be there or not. My wife was their biggest advocate. My wife fought for these kids. My wife, most of the kids that we took in, most of them had special needs. Because my wife has so much love and is so giving and works so well with them. And if you know my wife, you know it's true. But all the kids have special needs. This one was autistic. The first one we got was autistic. We've had some with heart issues, some with sleep apnea. We've had all sorts of medical problems. My wife is a walking dictionary of kids and medical problems. Why? Because she spent an awful lot of time studying. She spent an awful lot of time looking. How can I help this child succeed? How can I get this child what is best? I remember one of our first kids we had was autistic, and my wife researched it and found a test to give her and found a therapist who would work with us, and we instituted things, and this child was very far behind, but when they became old enough to go into kindergarten, that child knew everything, autistic, knew everything they needed to know all the way through kindergarten before they stepped foot in the door. My wife had worked so hard to prepare them. It was tough, unless you knew the story. It was tough to pick them out. Why? Because my wife was the biggest advocate. They were in a program, and she fought to take them out. There were some medical things that needed to happen, and she fought to make it happen. Why? Because a mama wants what's best for her children. What makes mothers special? What makes them special, first of all, the warmth. Second of all, they want what's best. And then third, this evening, a mother's worship. What makes mothers special? Again, we're talking about motherhood. We're not just talking about someone who has a child. We're talking about motherhood, mother's worship before her children. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy learned about salvation. He learned about living from God, or living for God, from a godly mother, from a godly grandmother who showed him what that looked like. Can I encourage you, Mom, don't neglect your children's spiritual life when it comes to training. Your influence is greater than you imagine. Winston Churchill once said, if we want to change our nation, begin by enlisting mothers. The following true story illustrates how loudly a Christian mother's life speaks to her children. When Robert, the notorious skeptic, was in his heyday, two college students went to hear him lecture. As they walked down the street after the lecture, one said to the other, "Well, I guess he knocked the props out from under Christianity, didn't he?" The other said, "No, I don't think he did. Robert did not explain my mother's life. And until he can explain my mother's life, I will stand by my mother's God." Let me ask you, what is your life teaching your children's mom? Be careful, they're watching. I'm so thankful all three of my children have accepted Christ. And I will say, in a great extent, it's because of the testimony of my wife. My wife stays home and homeschools our children. And one of the most important classes that she teaches them from young all the way up is the Word of God. She teaches them in a classroom setting, obviously, but she does more than that. My wife teaches them in a day-to-day practical setting. My wife demonstrates what that looks like, what that means, and because of that, I've got three kids who are on their way to heaven. Let me close with this little poem. The one who follows me. A careful mother I ought to be, a little one is following me. I don't dare go astray for fear she'll go the self-same way. I cannot once escape her eyes. Whatever she sees me do, she tries. Like me, she says she's going to be that little one who follows me. She thinks that I am good and fine, believes in every word of mine. The base in me, she must not see that little one who follows me. I must remember as I go through summer sun and winter snow, I'm building for the years to be the little one who's following me. Mothers are special. If you have a godly mother, let me encourage you to praise God for them. If you are a mother, can I encourage you to be more than just a parent, to be a mother? Bestow warmth upon your children. Make sure that they're cared for. Make sure you love them like you ought. Make sure you continue to fight for what's best. But make sure, most importantly, you worship before your children. I'm so thankful for my wife. I'm so thankful for my mom and my grandmother. All of them wonderful Christians who set an example for me and has changed my life drastically. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together tonight. Lord, thank you for motherhood. Thank you for how special they are. Thank you for the role that they play in a person's life. And Lord, I do pray for our moms. Lord, I pray that you would bless them. Lord, I pray that you would help them and protect them. Lord, I pray that as men, as children, we would honor them and help them. Lord, for they truly are that glue that holds our families together. Lord, thank you for our time together today. Thank you for your word that's been declared. And Lord, I pray that you will I claim the promise that it won't return void. Lord, bring about an expected end, and we'll thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen.